I want to start out this morning at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I don't know what the Holy Ghost is going to do this morning, but God has laid it on my heart to have a Holy Ghost meeting. And you may not be aware of what that is, but what I mean by that is I don't have a sermon as such. Let the Holy Ghost work through the body. And the Lord put it on my heart last Sunday, the way we ended the service, is to open it up for the Holy Spirit to speak through the body. And He's just not let me let go of that. And so we're going to do it in a kind of a greater, broader sense today. And I've asked Jack to stay up here and play the music. This passage came to me a while ago, and I just couldn't look it up. It's somewhere in one of the Book of Kings, because it's talking about Elijah. You know, Elijah was a prophet, and God spoke to His people through the prophets. And oftentimes, kings would go to the prophets and inquire of the Lord, what would the Lord say? Moses shows us that in the tabernacle, that the Lord spoke to the high priest from between the cherubim above the mercy seat. That's where the voice of God was audibly heard by the high priest. And God spoke through the prophets. He didn't speak in an inward way by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit didn't dwell within the people. That didn't come until after the covenant, when we were made a new creation, where we became one with Him. And so we hear now from God from an inward way. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. But that's not the only way. He speaks to us through the Scriptures. He speaks to us through what is called the spiritual gifts. And these are enumerated in 1 Corinthians 14. And I want to just briefly teach on that just before we let the Holy Spirit take this service. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. First of all, it says, let love be your highest goal. Now, why talking about, because the context of verse 14 is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit working in a service like this. There is a thought, a theology, a teaching out there in the Christian community and among some denominations that tongues are no longer for today. But that's not what the Scripture says. And they also, some who would allow it, say that tongues are for today. They say tongues are for your private prayer language and not to be used in the church. Especially if there are any unbelievers in the room, not to speak with tongues. The Bible doesn't say that. Actually, it says quite the opposite in this chapter 14. It says tongues are a sign for the unbeliever. So if the unbeliever never hears tongues, then how are they going to get the sign from God? Okay? But we're talking about the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit that manifests in a service. But it has one goal, and that is to build up the body, to strengthen, encourage, and to comfort. So we need to be active in that. Our church needs to be alive with the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Last week, at the end of the service, I felt God leading to leave it open for the Holy Spirit to work through the body, to the body. One thing I think that the church has made a mistake, I'm not laying the blame on the pew or the pulpit, but somewhere we've got the mistaken idea that the guy standing up here is a one-man show. Now, yeah, he's a leader, but he's only a minute part of the work of the Holy Spirit that God is doing through the body. And so, given time for the Holy Spirit to encourage the body last Sunday, Sister Pat gave a message in tongues. and Brother Billy on the other side. God had given him words to say, but he said, this is the way he explained it to me. He said, it wasn't time. It was like the Holy Spirit said, this is not the time yet. And then the tongues came forward, and then the Holy Spirit said, now. That's what we were waiting for, and he gave the interpretation. Now, here's a glorious thing. Pat had never in her life ever give a message in tongues in public like this, in a worship service. Bill had never given an interpretation in tongues ever before. And I thank God that the Holy Spirit is active in the church today to build up the body of Christ. Amen. And I like, she's not here to defend herself, but I'm saying I like it when I see the gifts begin to operate in the younger generation. You know, she's a senior citizen, but what did she do? She lent her spirit to the manifestation. The tongues and the interpretation are supernatural. See, it's not something that is natural, that you come up with yourself. It's not something that you take a class and learn. Now, there is learning to do in that, but it is a gift. This is an awesome thing. The gifts that are explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are just that. They are gifts. Friends, listen to me. Believers, brethren, family, listen. They are not earned. They are not earned. So you can never qualify yourself. The spirit of condemnation says, well, you're not perfect and you messed up and you thought this and you said this and you got mad and you're not tithing and all this. That spirit of condemnation can come on you and say you are disqualified for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to manifest through you. Stop disqualifying yourself when you've already been qualified because you are a son. Hallelujah. And God has empowered the church. If you're a believer in Jesus and you've accepted him, if you have believed on him, you are qualified. I remember one service, I don't mean to reminisce, but when I was a teenager, I remember one service at home. We were just having a worship time together. There was an evangelist that had come, and the Spirit of the Lord was precious and sweet. And a five-year-old girl walked from the back of our little church. It was half the size of this. A five-year-old girl walked to the front and said, I just want to say, I love Jesus. And she sang a song, Jesus Loves Me. And I'm going to tell you, revival broke out into that place. Our knees got weak. Our souls got full. Our minds were encouraged. And boy, did we ever feel the love of God. And then the scripture came up. Somebody brought it up in that service. And a little child shall lead them. Here's a little child whom, like Jesus said, unless you come with the faith of a child, you cannot even come to me. Wow. It's all about love. That little child at 5 years old, she may not have understood a lot about spiritual gifts, but there's something about love she understood. The love of God. Whew. It was the beginning of a tremendous revival that week in our little church. I remember that. My dad was a pastor. So stop disqualifying yourself. I gave a little bit more quiet time for someone to respond last Sunday with word. Later, one of the brothers whom I spend was Monday mornings at 8 o'clock in personal one-on-one time instruction and discipleship. I was afraid of how he might have experienced this, if he was afraid if he'd ever get back, because he had a different background than what happened there. He said, no, I've had a little bit of experience in that. But he's had some bad experiences where very similar to what was happening in 1 Corinthians is the reason Paul wrote this, is because the gifts were used in a wrong way. The Corinthian church were using the gifts in the wrong way with the wrong attitude. They were probably trying to control each other, must have been condemning each other, rebuking each other, reprimanding. There must have been something like that was going on for him to say what he said. And he said it is for this, for edification, that is encouraging, for exhortation, that is for strengthening, and for comfort, that's for comfort. That's what the gifts are about, so that the body will be encouraged. Hey, we can go out of here and just life itself can have its effect of discouragement and a draining. So should we do that in here if we know that people are going to get it when going out there? No, this is the place to be filled up. This is a place to be charged up. And we do that with the love of God. And He's given us the gifts of the Spirit to build us up. Hallelujah. Oh, that never a Sunday would ever happen again that you would walk out that door feeling judged and condemned. God, that is my prayer. Because you can get that anywhere out there. But God, make this a sanctuary of your holy presence that manifests the love of God and His glorious demonstration of His love. I just read this verse this morning in the scriptures where Paul says, if God gave His Son for us as sinners, if He did that, His only beloved Son, if God did that, if He did that, then what else will He withhold from us? What other good will He withhold from us if He will go that far in doing that for us? There's nothing too good for God's people. Hallelujah. Oh my. But the Corinthians apparently were having manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And again, the manifestation of the gifts is supernatural. So it's not something that you finally attain to when God says you've earned this gift now. No, a gift is a gift. It's something unearned. It's given out of compassion and love, out of the love of the giver. And that's what the gifts of the Spirit are. And you have been qualified. When you've trusted in Jesus, you have been qualified. Teenagers, junior hires, high schoolers, you're not disqualified. God can use you. I've seen young people prophesy. Hallelujah. Senior citizens, if you think God's days of using you are over, change your thinking. Hallelujah. The church is in need of God speaking through you words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. But the way he starts out chapter 14 here is he says, let love be your highest goal. It's funny because chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians is talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the manifestation of it in the body. And chapter 14 is talking about the very same thing, only in more detail. Chapter 12 is the general overview of the gifts that God has given the church. 14 is more specific about how to use those gifts in the service, in prophecy, in tongues, and interpretation. But right in between 12 and 14 is the love chapter. This is a beautiful setting. See, you take a diamond ring, you can take that diamond out and lay it aside. Oh, it's beautiful. It glistens. And then you can take that ring, the setting part, and set it aside. And it too is pretty. But you know the glory of that ring is when that diamond gets inside the context of that ring, that setting. That's what we have with 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And 13 is the love chapter that you're familiar with. But its context was within the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit to edify, build up, and comfort the body of Christ. So he just come off of chapter 13, having said, oh, you can have all of these gifts to prophesy, to have tongues and interpretation of, or you could have the gift of giving, so much so that you gave so much you give your body to be burned. But if you don't have love, all of that stuff is as a tinkling brass or a drum. It's nothing. Love is number one. And so that's why he says, when he talks about in chapter 14, he begins it with, let love be your highest goal. But you should also desire the special abilities. Now that's the NLT word, the New King James. King James says spiritual gifts. You should also desire special abilities the Spirit gives. Can I ask you, have you desired spiritual gifts? These are not earned, or they're not rewards. I've already said that. But have you desired spiritual gifts? God is telling you right now that He has qualified you and He wants you to be His instrument of goodness. He wants you to be His instrument of glory. He wants you to be His conduit to bless other people. If we take the understanding of grace and the revelation of the finished work and the power of the Holy Ghost, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and we enjoy it, we love it, it's joyful, but if we keep it to ourselves, we miss the heart of God, because God never freed us, He never saved us, only for ourselves. He did it so we can be a light to those who are hurting and oppressed and sick and dying and have no hope. We have received, Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. Hallelujah. He said, give, and then He equipped you to give. He equipped you to give. He didn't just say, now you're part of my team, go out there somewhere and find the power to do what I said. No, He said, I have equipped you, I have qualified you, and I have called you, and now I'm giving you everything you need to be Jesus in the world. Hallelujah. But love is our highest goal. And he says, desire special abilities or spiritual gifts. But here's what's interesting. Look, he said, of all those gifts that he mentions, there's 9 of them and 12 that he enumerates. But he says, especially the ability to prophesy. Of all of those gifts, he is elevating one above all the others. And that is the spiritual gift of prophecy. Verse 2. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. Now let me say right here that prophecy is not foretelling the future like you might see the ministry of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all those. No, those were speaking of the prophecies of the coming Messiah. No, it's not foretelling the future. The Lord does provide that as a gift that is listed in chapter 12, but it's called the word of wisdom. That involves the future. But today we're talking about prophecy. And its purpose is to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. Let me tell you, let me show you from the scriptures here what it doesn't say. It doesn't say for correction, rebuke, or condemnation, or pointing out sins. Okay? Now, the Bible says there's a way to handle those issues when it's necessary in the body, the correction. The body is to be corrected by the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction and instruction, but not prophecy. Prophecy is for strengthening the body, encouraging the body, and comforting. Verse 4, oh, I already read that. No. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally,
but one who speaks a word of prophecy and strengthens the entire church. See, the context of chapter 14 is a church service, and prophecy is so that everyone can leave strengthened, encouraged, and comforted. Excuse me. Verse 5, I wish you could all speak with tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues. Now, he did not say that tongues are least of the gifts here. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets what you are saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. So, we saw the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in giving tongues. No one knew what she said. No one was built up in what she said. Now, if that is all that would have happened, she herself would have been encouraged, according to scriptures. But God's goal for speaking publicly in tongues is for that the whole church can be encouraged, strengthened, and comforted. But if it's not words you understand, that doesn't happen. That's why that happened. The interpretation. So prophecy, which is speaking in this known language, is equal, or maybe I should say, tongues with interpretation is equal with prophecy. There's been many times that people have given a message in tongues where somebody in the congregation spoke that language and was encouraged, even if there was an interpretation, because they knew that language that person spoke, they were encouraged, comforted, and strengthened. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. See, it's not a learned language. It's something that it's a supernatural ability that God gives when somebody speaks with tongues. Okay? Let me take you to 1 Corinthians 14:31. It's the same chapter. I'm skipping a lot. He says, "For you can all prophesy one by one according to the scriptures." This is the one gift that all believers have who've received the Holy Spirit. For you can all prophesy one by one. Teenagers, if you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and you can prophesy, that is, encourage, to strengthen, and to comfort. Everybody. If you're a custodian or the president, no matter what range of service in society's classification, all are the same when they're in Christ. All are qualified in Christ to do this powerful work of the Holy Spirit. The last verse, 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? So this is what we're going to do. This is what I call the Holy Ghost service. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together? Do you see this? It's a come together time. It's a come together teaching. The Holy Spirit working and manifesting. It's a come together gift, manifestation of the Holy Spirit. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, each of you has a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. I take from Scripture that there should be time given in the body of Christ, that the Holy Spirit is given time to use the body, to minister to the body. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Let the Holy Ghost have His way. And I'll say like I did last Sunday, we're just going to be quiet except for the music. I meant to say this a while ago. There was a time in Elijah, God spoke through Elijah to the people, his prophets. And one day the people needed to hear a word of the Lord. They needed to hear a fresh word from heaven. You ever been there? The people said, "We want to hear from God. Do you see our circumstances? We need to hear from God." And Elijah didn't say no, and he didn't resist. You know what he did? He said, "Find me a musician. Let
Find me a musician and bring him here that he may begin to play. And here's what Scripture says. When that person began to play the strings, the spirit of prophecy came over Elijah and he began to speak words of comfort to the people of God. That's why I have music. I can tell you, I can tell the difference. When the music begins to play and the unction of the Holy Spirit begins to come more active. It's already there, dwelling inside, but there's something about playing to God. There's just something about it. So we're going to be focusing on the Lord as the music plays. I'm going to put this mic down here. And you don't have to. Jack is going to play it. He's playing by ear right now, but he's going to be attentive to what you're doing. If you stand and you have something to say, a teaching, a revelation, a song, a recitation, something that strengthens and encourages, he's going to get quieter so we can hear you. Okay? Or you can come to the microphone and be heard a little better. The important thing is that you're heard. Because it'd be just like tongues otherwise. If we don't hear what you say, what encouragement has there been to us? So if you stay where you are, speak loudly if you will, so that we can hear. Now, somebody may have a prophecy to the body. You may have a scripture to read. You may have a song to sing, and you don't even have to sing it. You can recite the words, a revelation, a tongue or interpretation. You may even need prayer. I want you to understand. You may even need prayer. And if you need prayer, you can come and just stand still. That's your signature, or that's your sign, if you will, or hint to everybody that you need prayer. And you can come up here. But I'm going to do this. I'm going to do my best to just sit here. Because there is a learning that needs to take place. He said in that passage, actually, he says, "For you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged." See, at some point, God has given you that gift to be able to prophesy, encourage, strengthen, and comfort others. But you never step into that supernatural work because you've disqualified yourself. And the devil will do that. He will disqualify you and remind you of your failures or how, quote unquote, unholy you are, disobedient you are. Don't listen to that voice. God says you can all prophesy so that all may learn, so that you can learn. You will learn. Your either your own mind, when a word of encouragement comes to your heart and mind, here's what's going to happen. You're sitting there, and a word of encouragement, and you may not get the whole story, but if you have one sentence a word of encouragement the Holy Spirit gives you, act on that, because most likely what will happen is that if there's more to be said, then God will give you when you lend your tongue to Him. But either your mind or the devil will say, "Oh, that's not you. I mean, that's not God. That's just you. You're just thinking that up on your own." Last Sunday, there was quite a silence there when I said, "God is speaking somebody's heart. Don't be afraid to share." That next morning at coffee with John Kirch, and I was asking him if he had any experience in that, and he said, "Yeah, I've been in that kind of an environment." But he said, "I got to tell you, when you told somebody to speak and don't be afraid, and it got quiet, I was praying, Lord, get him out of this one." By 9 o'clock that night, I had three people tell me I had a word of encouragement, but I didn't speak up. No condemnation, okay? Just step in the water, because God has a word for somebody that will be encouraging, strengthening, or comforting to them. I'll just be honest with you, my first initial reaction is to sit here And if something doesn't happen, then I have a tendency to want to make something happen and step in. But that's not my goal. My goal is that the power of the Holy Spirit be manifest through the body. Love is number one. And here's how we'll end. When it would seem like the Holy Spirit is finished speaking, we're done. We're finished. If you need prayer, we'll lay hands on you. You may make a mistake. Take these words coming out of my mouth as big and in bold print. Big deal. If you make a mistake, big deal. You surrendered to the supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and at some point you will make a mistake. You will miss it. I have missed it. But you learned. That's why all may prophesy, so that you may learn and everyone be encouraged. I've asked Jack just to be led by the Holy Spirit on the music over there. So I'm going to sit down. I'm going to put the mic out here. And then God is going to stir someone's heart with a scripture or with a prophecy in your own terms. But it's going to be God. And He has appointed this day. And you came by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And somebody needs to hear what God has to say through you. Don't be afraid. Step into faith and believe that God has qualified you to be used supernaturally by His power. Hallelujah. In the meantime, I'm going to encourage you not to sit uninvolved. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in tongues. And you haven't received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, today's the day. Great environment God has created for you to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. To pray in the Holy Ghost. If you want to be baptized, that is immersed in the Holy Ghost, you just ask God for it. The Bible says it's a gift and He'll just give it to you. You're already qualified through the blood, the cleansing of the blood. And then there may be a simple syllable that will come to you that sounds like baby talk. Well, go ahead and say it. And then the Holy Spirit will grow your language as you lend Him your tongue. Hallelujah. I could go on, but I got to quit this. Hallelujah. Thank you.
The Lord is just over and over, and I will admit, I talked to Pastor last week, and I said, I didn't when I was supposed to, and so I couldn't get away from it. It's still there, so this word is that the Lord is saying, trust me, I see everything that's going on in your life. You have said, God, what am I going to do about my marriage? I don't know what to do. How's this going to work out, Lord? But I say, trust me. You have said, Lord, I don't know what to do about my children. What am I going to do? How will this situation be worked out? But I say to you, trust me. What am I going to do about my husband? I say, trust me. You see, I want to take you on a journey with me so that I can reveal more and more and more of myself to you. I know where to take you. I know how to avoid the ditch. I know how to avoid the pit. I know how to take you into places of safety. You can trust me because I am your good father, and I love you with a love that in human speech is indescribable. You cannot begin to understand my love for you. It is vast. It is enormous. It is huge, beyond your mind. I love you. I have only the best intentions and good for you. So I say to you again, trust me. Don't give in to fear. Don't give in to worry. But trust me. Trust me. Trust me. I will not fail you. Trust me.
All I keep hearing is, I am, I am, I am, I am. Trust me, I am. Whatever you're not, I am. Whatever I haven't put in you, you didn't get from your mom and your dad when you were born, I am. Whatever weakness inside of you, I am that strength to carry on. So when the devil tries to disqualify you, remember, I made you. I made you. You're perfect just the way you are. I am whatever you need to be. It is me. I am. Just trust me that I am. Whatever you are not, I am. Call out and let me be that for you.
A verse that the Lord has just given me to stand on a lot of times, and it's in Isaiah 43, and this is in the Message. It says, but now God's message, the God who made you in the first place, the one who got you started, don't be afraid, I have redeemed you. I have called your name and you're mine. When you're in over your head, I will be there with you. When you are in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I am your God, your personal God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you.
The Lord has came and he is speaking to me, to his church. And he hears the hearts and the pleas of many who look at the numbers and they are discouraged as to what's happening. The Lord says that he sees your good deeds that you do for one another out of love and compassion. And that he wants to encourage you that they are not going unanswered. That your prayers and your thoughts and your hopes will be given to you, will be fulfilled, that all that you have longed for and looked for will be given to you, that he loves you and he has compassion for you, and that you are his most highly prized possession.
There is no reason to be afraid. I have not left you, whatever you're going through. There's nothing you go through alone. I want you to talk to me and tell me how you're feeling. Yes, I already know. But it's going to bring you peace. I am going to bring you peace. The storm you're going through, I'm calming it right now. All rough waters are still. I am here. I am with you when you drive to work. I am with you even when you're brushing your hair in the morning. You have no reason to be afraid. Don't be scared of what is coming because I am here.
I didn't come here to speak today. I come for the Lord to speak to me today. The Lord said, let the body function. And the Spirit of God, when I'm sitting back there, is welling up inside of me. And I'm wanting to say, we have been crucified with Christ. It's not us that live, but it's Christ who lives in us. And the life that we live in the faith in the Son of God who died for us and loved us. That's how we live. That's how we exist. That's our life, our faith in Christ Jesus and what he did for us. And when he said it was finished, it was finished. There's no more for us to do but to praise him. And I was sitting in the back of the pew 30 years ago, and a pastor like pastor here made an invitation. And he said, if anybody wants to be set free from some kind of life-controlling problem or wants to hear from God, come down to the altar here and pour your heart out to Jesus. And nobody moved. It was the greatest thing I ever heard in my life, that Jesus would enter into my spirit and give me power over Satan and all the demonic forces. But nobody was moving. And I was dumbfounded. I was sitting in the back, and a girl said, well, you're going down. I said, yeah, but I don't want to be the first. But today, again, I was dumbfounded. Because every one of you contain Christ. Every one of us have a word of encouragement. Every one of us. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Stand up and say that. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Stand up and say that. This is a functioning body when it stands up and speaks the word of God. That is life. You're dispensing. Christ is dispensing himself through you. The word of God is spirit and life. We are to dispense that life to one another. That's what the brother, I'm sitting there and this brother, the Holy Spirit has dispensed this revelation truth to this brother, and then the Holy Spirit dispensed that truth to me, and it bears witness with my spirit, and it bears witness with your spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, may your Holy Spirit come down upon these people. And that they may be able to speak with boldness and authority your word. And that what you started in them was not just for them to transform them and conform them and ultimately glorify them. But your purpose is also that you can dispense yourself through them and edify and build up the body of Christ. That is fulfilling our potential as human beings to contain Christ and express Christ. It's so simple.
Song that he's playing right now was just ringing in my head before he started playing it. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us so. And I know that there's someone that's here that has unforgiveness in their heart. Something that they did that was a selfish act. And I'm here to tell you that, oh, how he loves you so. And then no matter what you've done, that he has forgiven you, but you must forgive yourself. We serve a good God. We live under grace, and he died for that grace. So anything that you've done before you met him, he's telling you now, oh, how I love you so. What an amazing thing when that came to me. Because I've shared that before with my own mother. It was a few days after she had shared with me that she had aborted babies after my youngest sister was born. And I said, Lord, how do I speak to my mother about forgiveness, about that? And I went into church with that on my mind one morning, and this lady that was an amazing woman of Christ, and she came to me and she said, Cherie, she said, the Lord wants me to pray with you on how to speak to your mother about her unforgiveness. And I had just spoken with my mom a few days before that. And the Lord took me into the throne room where I had also lost a baby at 21 weeks. And I had just learned that a friend of mine had lost her baby after it was born. And oh, how Jesus loves us so, because I got to share that experience with my mom at the throne of God and Jesus sitting at his right hand. And all these little children around me singing, Jesus loves me. My son was there, and all the aborted children that my mom had given up after me and my sisters were born. How beautiful it is to know that those children will meet you at the throne of grace and love. Because they don't know. What a beautiful thing to forgive yourself for the things that you feel God can't forgive you for, but he can. And what a beautiful thing that was for me to be able to share that with my mother. And the brightness and the beauty of those children. God loves us so. He loves you so, and he loves me so.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Father, we're so grateful, God, that you actively, you're alive. Jesus, you're alive. And the very life that we said, something you said to us through Brother Lord this morning, that our life is your life, you living in us. Thank you that you have redeemed us, Lord. Christ in us is our hope of glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that you've given us everything we need for life and godlikeness. Hallelujah. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I feel strengthened, encouraged, and comforted. How about you? Isn't it good? Amen. And he can use teenagers. Hallelujah. That's brave. Really is. Amen. Glory to God. It's a good life, people. It's a good life. Amen. Now let's take that fire, let's take that fuel, and let's go out there and let's give them heaven. God bless you.